It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction identifies dozens of languages spoken by Wisconsin K-12 students, Spanish being the largest group. As multilingual learners start a new school year, we explore resources and support for teachers and students. Call in with a question or comment along the way, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Bowles is founder and executive director of WIDA, which provides language teaching and testing for multilingual learners. It's based at the Wisconsin Center for Education Research at UW-Madison. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Well, you started WIDA 20 years ago. How does the organization support multilingual learners? Give us a tour.
Yeah, the original grant was to create a set of language standards and a language proficiency assessment that would help guide and inform educators. And really what was unique about what we were doing is we wanted to build an entire suite of resources and professional learning that were research-based around this so that we could help teachers really do a better job of providing opportunities to learn for these students and help them along their English language learning journey so they can get to full proficiency and really be active and on their way to college or career, whatever they want to do with life. So the grant really, we started with three states way back 20 years ago. And as you mentioned, we have over 40 states now and territories that are using our products and services. So it's really been an exciting journey.
And just so we can all be on the same page, who is a multilingual learner? What does that term mean?
Yes. Well, they're also officially called English learners or English language learners by the U.S. Department of Ed, although the multilingual learner term is becoming more popular. It's a more assets-based and sort of forward-thinking term. But basically, these students may be immigrant students or really any student that is in a home that speaks a language other than English and arrives at our school speaking that language. So the assistance, of course, is to make sure that those students get equitable opportunities to learn and really succeed in school, just like we want all students to succeed in school.
And you want to track them along this journey of learning English and knowing exactly where they're at. At the time you started WIDA, there were four different English language proficiency tests that were administered here in Wisconsin schools. Why did you feel these tests were not living up? Why were they inadequate?
Yeah, well, those tests really were part of a previous generation, and the teachers really did not like the tests very much because they didn't give them useful information. They were very basic, and you couldn't compare growth from year to year. The tests were not accurate enough to do that. So we really needed assessments that are vertically scaled, as we say in the profession, that allow us to see that progress all the way up the ladder, because it does take numerous years, 5 to 7 years on average, for students to reach full proficiency. And teachers need good quality information to help guide them in what to do next in the classroom.
And so WIDA develops this framework for teaching English and assessing this progress of non-native speakers. How did WIDA go about developing these benchmarks?
The benchmarks are the language standards that I talked about earlier. And basically, those provide a blueprint for curriculum, for teachers, but they also provide the blueprint for the assessment so that we really have a sort of aligned approach where we're teaching the right things and we're assessing the right things, and teachers are getting the kind of feedback that they need to really maximize learning for students.
Tim Bowles with us as we talk about English language proficiency development among non-native speakers with WIDA. Tim, founder and executive director of the Educational Consortium. And you can join in with your questions about multilingual learning. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tim, federal law requires states to annually measure the progress of students learning English, as you mentioned. How has the testing of non-native English speakers evolved over the decades?
Well, as I mentioned, it really has helped us inform teachers about what the curriculum and the methodologies that they need to move forward. In the old days, methodologies tended to be more remedial, a lot of pulling the student out down the hall and sort of working with them on basic English. And the issue with that is the basic English doesn't give you what you need to do well in a science class, a math class, or a social studies class. So the guidance and support and professional learning that we provide, along with the information from the assessment, really helps teachers think about how do I get students engaged in the learning within content classrooms in the same places that all the other students are in the school, right? Because that's where success is defined in our education system.
So really building that community of learners and ensuring there is that inclusivity that the, as you mentioned, the, that these multilingual learners aren't pulled aside and treated separately. Yeah. Why should non-native speakers of English learn the language while they learn the core subject matters like science and math and social studies?
Frankly, because if we pull them down the hall and we just work on basic English, they're missing those math, science lessons and social studies lessons, so they're falling behind their peers. So we really have no time to waste. Usually when a student comes in and speaks only a few words of English, we may have a brief period where we need to do what was used to be called survival English, right? Working with them on just really some of the basics. But as soon as we get beyond that initial point, we want to get them in those science, math, social studies classrooms as soon as possible. And we really want them to have the same opportunities that other students have in the school. That's how we promote success. Most, if you wait 3 or 4 years to get them, it's just too long.
Tim Bowles, executive director of WIDA, has provided language teaching and testing for multilingual learners for 2 decades. You can be part of this discussion about multilingual education, what you see in your classrooms. Call in with a question, share experiences at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ahead of a new school year, we explore what it's like to be a multilingual student in Wisconsin's English-centered classrooms and resources for teachers and how to give students who are developing in multiple languages full access to the curriculum. Call in with a question, share a comment along the way. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Bowles leads the educational consortium WIDA, stays with us. Chris Zellner is here, an English language teacher and coordinator for the Hortonville Area School District. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Anne Gamoki, who is Director of Student Services at Plymouth Joint School District. Anne, welcome.
Well, hello and good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Anne. The Plymouth Area School District where you work is a small rural district. How do teachers there work with multilingual students?
Well, in our district, we've kind of, I think of this as my 21st year as a director, so I feel like I've been a part of WIDA's influence on our the learning for our multilingual learners in that time. The resources they provide for us are everything. What we really try to do in our district is, you know, look from a lens of like a positive lens, like to help build those relationships for students. We really do believe in keeping students in the classroom to be learning alongside their peers. So we really focus on those can-do statements. Maybe Tim can talk a little bit about how those came to be, but for us, that's a big, powerful start because we focus on what students can do and then what's next for them in their language journey. And it really helps empower classroom teachers to look at the student first as a learner and not someone who doesn't know English. So for us, that's been the key to our success with these students.
Tim, what is the can-do approach?
Yes, the can-do approach is part of our founding principles that we really wanted to move the field towards thinking about the assets that students bring and what they are able to do so that we know where to begin the learning and how to sustain the learning going forward. So that can-do approach, and we have what are called can-do descriptors, and even our language standards are very oriented towards this assets-based can-do approach so that we really give teachers ideas for how to stimulate discussions within the class and really promote that language acquisition that is tied to learning within the school environment.
Chris, at Hortonville High School, you work with students who are newcomers to this country.
Yes.
How do you initially assess their English language skills?
Well, when a student comes in, we give them the access screener, which is online. And when we get the results back, we are able to tell, you know, if what areas they need, you know, more intensive English instruction. In Hortonville, we do have newcomer English classes. And then once students gain more and more proficiency, like by the next school year or whenever, they are in regular classes and they receive support and as they work with teachers.
I wonder there, if multilingual learners are separated in a different class, do those teachers and the other classrooms collaborate and build relationships with the English-centered classrooms?
Oh, let me clarify.
Okay.
The students are in, and I'm their teacher for the newcomer class. I am the only newcomer English teacher. They're in all the other classes for science and the other content areas. A lot of our teachers in Hortonville, it's very exciting to see over the years, more and more come to work in schools, getting a great education in the university system, having more knowledge of English language learning. I've been at Hortonville for about 23 years, and I've just seen such a big difference in what teachers come into our high school with as far as educating multilingual learners, more so than they did in the past. So it's a real easy collaboration, consultation. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you've been in this work for decades. How do you create that inclusive community environment of learners for multilingual students to feel well supported and having peers who may not speak their language?
Yeah, I think it really is all about relationship building. You know, Chris kind of mentioned this. In our smaller rural school setting, which is, you know, prominent throughout Wisconsin, it would be very difficult to think about trying to approach the support of students with always having someone who is bilingual in that language. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just isn't a possibility. So anytime you can take, you know, the resources that WIDA provides, and then the relationship of a very good, you know, we call them EL teachers in our school district, but those relationships between that EL teacher supporting a classroom teacher or a content specific teacher to be able to keep a student in their classroom, but to know how to help them, you know, so those relationships are really what empower those students to feel accepted and, you know, supported and encouraged to just bring the gifts to that classroom. I think the other thing that's really just powerful and almost like magical is that in our some of our smaller communities, there really is not always a lot of diversity, but this brings diversity to the classroom in such a positive way. And, you know, I know we do everything else in our district that we can, like just in the bigger picture of how our buildings run, to really encourage the multilingualism. Like we encourage the families to use their native spoken language. Like we want students to grow both languages. Like we don't want them to leave that at the door. That's just really important that they continue to learn in their own language, but then also learn English at the same time. So supporting that effort, I think, is where that success and inclusive education lies.
Tim, it sounds like you want to add to that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say thumbs up to Anne. That's really important to value the students and value their native language and culture. It's part of that assets-based approach where we really recognize the gifts and the background knowledge that students bring to the classroom. And the WIDA tools and resources are meant to help teachers orient towards that in that direction. And so it's really gratifying to hear both Chris and Anne talk about how these supports and professional learning are helping them in their districts. We do throughout our 41 states and territories, we have lots of rural school districts that oftentimes have less resources to help students. So this was part of the vision that we had for WIDA. And of course, you know, if you were talking to Milwaukee Public Schools, it's a different setting, but I think they make use of the WIDA resources and professional learning there. It's just a different environment and a lot more students oftentimes concentrated in the same classroom. But that's a different model, but it also needs to be assets-based. And so it's very gratifying to hear Chris and Anne mention the particulars of how they're working with their students.
That is WIDA Executive Director Tim Bowles. We have Plymouth School District Student Services Director Anne Gomoki and Hortonville Area School District English Language Teacher Chris Zollner. As we look at multilingual learners and the environments at Wisconsin schools, you can join in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Chris, I want to turn to parents. Have you encountered a parent or caregiver who might be concerned or confused about why their student is getting support through English language teachers when, you know, maybe they see their student, you know, talking to friends in English, watching TV and movies in English, that their child speaks English? So what are they confused then that they would need these types of services?
That's a great question. Besides working with the students, working with the parents is one of the my favorite parts of the job. Parents are so appreciative. And the big key is that, yes, students might have a strong knowledge of basic intercommunication skills. In the EL world, they're called BICs. But the language of school, the cognitive academic language needs to be strengthened. And we share that information with parents. And it's been my experience that parents have just been just so appreciative. And when we talk about that, they understand that quite quickly and quite well. And part of the reason that our parents do really buy in or really appreciate how we're educating their students is because we build a strong network of homeschool communication. We have events. We just feel like parental communication is vitally important. And but that is a common question. It's not only a question that parents might have, but in the past, especially staff members wondered why. Well, this student, I hear him or her speak English, and now what's the deal with the struggle? And then we can compare, or we can talk about that, and using the WIDA products and tools has been extremely helpful in doing that.
That is Chris Zellner, who is English Language Learners Coordinator for the Hortonville Area School District. We have Ann Gamoki with us as well, Student Services Director for the Plymouth Joint School District, and Tim Bowles, who is Executive Director of WEDA. It's a nationwide educational consortium that's seeking to improve the experience of English language learning students. It is based at UW-Madison, and you can be part of this discussion about multilingual learning. Call in with a question, share a concern, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The educational consortium WEDA works on ways to achieve an equitable environment for English language learners. And ahead of a new school year, we learn how Wisconsin teachers approach testing and instruction for multilingual students. And there's space to talk. Call in with a question. Share a comment. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Bowles is here, founder and executive director of WEDA. Chris Zellner is an English language teacher at Hortonville Area School District, and Ann Gamoki is Director of Student Services for Plymouth Joint School District. And in terms of creating community, how does your district involve multilingual students in the community?
Oh, that's a very good question and a challenge that we have been working on for the at least the past 20 years I've been in this position. But, you know, connecting with families is where we start. And we certainly try to host events at our school that, you know, bring families in. We had an event this spring where we celebrated how the achievement of how our students did. We hosted an ice cream social. And, you know, I would use the word linger. Families really enjoyed the evening and stayed. And I think what was important about that night is it was very inclusive of many walks. Like, we had grandparents, we had building principals, classroom teachers, our EL teachers. So, you know, it was just an opportunity to celebrate what all parents really want for their students. And that is, you know, success in the classroom. But coming into school is not, that's not always community, right? Like, you want to help these families become comfortable in the greater community that surrounds your school. So we do our best to support our families outside of school, like, you know, going along with them. We do have teachers that volunteer and spend time if maybe they need some support in the community, you know, interacting maybe in a way to help, you know, sometimes that language barrier, you do need sometimes, right? That interpreting or bilingual approach. And so we've done some of that in the past. We have also supported and helped our families make connections. We have a larger community to the east of us. And, you know, sometimes families just need a little support in figuring out what is in the community and what resources are there. And so our counselors get involved with that, our school nurses get involved with that, our school psychologists. We do have teachers, obviously, who speak other languages, so sometimes they step into those things. So I think it's really just from a perspective of acknowledging and owning and wanting people to feel like you care about them.
Anne, thank you for that. Let's take a call now. Linda in Pewaukee. Linda, hi.
Hello. I have been wondering about this for quite a long time. What is the opportunity for students that are speaking a language other than English to teach their language to the English-speaking students? Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Tim, can you field that?
Sure. You know, I think informally it happens probably in a lot of environments, and Chris and Anne might be able to speak more of rural environments. There are, in larger school districts, oftentimes dual language bilingual programs where students are able to work and learn in Spanish, for example, and English during the day. And those are environments that are really supportive of students, you know, getting together in small groups. And there's teaching that goes on between students, very definitely. And it's a very positive thing. And it's one of the reasons why these dual language programs, where you can do them, and we have some in Madison, you know, right here in our university community, and they, you know, we have them in Milwaukee and some of the other districts around the state. So those are very positive for students when you can do them.
Linda, thank you for the call. Chris Zellner, multilingual students, like other students, they may transfer in and out of your school district. And in those yes. circumstances, how is a student's English proficiency tracked?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's much easier and more efficient now that there are 41 states and territories that are WETA districts. For example, a really good example, we had a student transfer in from Miami School District in the middle of the school year.
And when you say like Miami, Florida?
Yes, Miami, uh-huh. Florida. And we knew that he had, just by talking to him, we knew that he had limited speaking English. But we, of course, Florida is a WETA state. So we contacted the district and we found out that he had taken the access test in kindergarten and he was a first grader now. So we were able to, and our test window was just closing. The access test window is open basically in December, January, December, January. Our window was just about to close, so we quickly gave him the test because in Florida, their test window was later than that. Hmm. But so anyway, it was, we could get that information. And when a student comes in with access data, we can tell by looking at the report. So say his speaking skills are at a level 2. We know what level 2 is like. We know how to move that student forward in education. And there's 4 domains of English, listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And all those domains have scores. So that data from other districts, and in Wisconsin, it's fairly simple to just get the reports, call the former school district if needed. And it's been much easier than in the past.
And it's
keeping track of students' progress.
I would imagine too, and it really speaks to having a standard assessment creates a common platform.
Absolutely.
and an ability
yes.
to understand exactly what that student needs at the same time, you know, when you have those common tools among states. Do you find that,
yes.
Anne?
Oh, certainly. And that is, again, where I think WETA has just been such a saving grace, especially for those of us in these smaller schools. Because most often, and I do agree with like what Chris said, sometimes you do get students from those few states that are not a part of WETA. But most often, you know, with covering that many states, we are able, you know, students can move from, you know, sometimes it's even local school districts, right? But then other times it's state to state. And when they arrive with, you know, a plan, like you can see what what their learning plan has been for the past couple of school years, or you see their test scores. So now you know what you're starting with and what is next for them. It just saves significant time. I mean, you know, it would be amazing if as students move in and out of our schools, if that were true for all schools. I mean, mm-hmm. just that in itself, what WETA has accomplished has been, I mean, really for us, so significant, because for the few times that it happens that a student comes in and we don't have that information, you really are starting from the beginning with those screenings. And again, it takes time away from being able to help integrate them in a more, you know, efficient manner. So We are very grateful for that piece of the resource.
Talking with Anne Gamoki there, who is Student Services Director at Plymouth Joint School District. We have Chris Zollner as well at Hortonville Area School District, the English language teacher there, and Tim Bowles with WIDA, founder and executive director, as we talk about English language proficiency development. You can join in with your questions, comments at 800-642-1234. Tim, let's turn to data that your organization found in the pandemic that it's still having adverse impacts on English language learning. Why have writing and speaking scores for these learners lagged rather than returned to pre-pandemic levels?
Well, that's a good question. The pandemic affected everyone, all students, and there are effects on the scores there. And there's always a lag when you're getting back in the classroom and getting back to working with the students in more effective ways. So, yes, we did see some dip in the scores pretty much across the board. But hopefully that will, over time, correct, and we're getting back on track now as best as we can. But this has been a difficult period for teachers, and resources are often scarce. But I know teachers do a fabulous job of supporting these students, as Anne and Chris have demonstrated this morning.
Was it a challenge for WIDA to incorporate more online learning, more online materials in recent years? Has that been? Go ahead.
Absolutely. That was it was a wake up call for us. We had already begun moving a lot of our professional learning online before the pandemic, but we accelerated that because we were really eager to support students, through their teachers and through the professional learning. And during this difficult time, we really got busy and got more resources out there to help with the online learning that they were doing at that time. And we've seen a transformation. I can remember the days when we had professional learning for maybe 500 teachers a year. We now have over 50,000 teachers completing learning online across the consortium, and we have over 350,000 teachers who go into our website and look for resources. So there's been an explosion of need, and we as part of a state agency, the funding that we receive from the states to maintain the test, we're also able to use some of those funds to help the teachers with these resources and professional learning.
Tim Bowles is Executive Director of the Educational Consortium WIDA, focused on multilingual students who are developing proficiency in English. Anne Gamoki with us, heads up Student Services for Plymouth Joint School District. And Chris Zollner is here, English Language Learners Coordinator at Hortonville Area School District. Call in with a question, share about education, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Educational Consortium WIDA says multilingual learners bring many assets to the classroom. As a new school year is set to get underway, we hear perspectives on Wisconsin's English language learners and teacher resources. Join into the conversation along the way. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. We have Anne Gamoki, Student Services Director in the the Plymouth Joint School District. Chris Zellner with us, English Language Learners Coordinator at Hortonville Area School District, and Tim Bowles, Founder and Executive Director of WIDA, which is based at UW-Madison. Tim, we heard from Gina in Illinois called in, and Gina has administered the WIDA test and is concerned that some students' scores are low because of the trauma they have experienced in moving to the U.S. And Gina says we really need to consider all of their needs, and the test is just one data point. What do you make of that?
No, I agree with that. The test is one data point, and we have worked very hard to make the test reliable and valid measure of growth. But we always encourage educators to contextualize the information that they get from the assessment and to look at other factors that may influence the performance of students. So I agree with that comment.
What can you say about the timing of the test, when that test is taken? For instance, a child who has just come into the country and now must take a test.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's an artifact of the way that we measure progress. Each state has a testing window for the access test, which is part of that federal requirement to measure growth from year to year. So, you know, we need to remember that when the student takes the test, that's a point in time. And next year is going to be another point in time. And hopefully that next year's test is going to see movement. So a low score is not a bad thing. It simply means that this is where the student is in the journey learning English. And always contextualize to understand that, yes, a student can have a bad day, or if they've just come into the district, that may be a factor in their performance. But, you know, it's information for teachers to use. It's not the assessment is not used in a punitive way. It's really meant to help teachers get better information and know where to go next with instruction. And there's always next year to measure that growth.
Always next year. But as an outsider looking in here, why can't the access test window be open all year long?
Well, we do have another assessment that students can give during the time when the window is not open. The reason why the access test cannot be, because as that official measure of growth, there does have to be some controls on when that is administered each year. It's part of the federal requirement. It's the same reason why with content area testing in Wisconsin and in other states too, you have a controlled test window for that type of assessment. But this is the reason why we have another assessment called Model that teachers can use anytime they want.
Tim,
sure, go
Tim,
ahead.
Could I just add to this as an administrator? You know, we do try to always encourage our teachers just to like to understand the view of there really is a place in education for both kinds of assessment. We call formative and summative.
Yeah.
So formative assessment is the type of assessment we encourage teachers to do every day that they are in significant control of. You know, it's all the things they're doing in their classroom. And the probes they might use, the little checks for understanding, you know, even unit design and testing, you know, when they finish a unit, like those are all things that they are very much in control of and then can use to tell that story of, you know, where is the student? What might be going on? What do I need to do to help them, you know, help them grow and learn? But then there's summative assessment, and that is, you know, kind of what the word implies, and that we don't always in education have the most control over summative. Summative is those like once a year type measures where, you know, that it is delivered at a time and it is a setting. And I think for some of those pieces that Tim was speaking about to try to make sure that they are reliable, you know, it's more of a statistical approach that we're looking at then. But then we also have to remember that is one moment in time. Mm-hmm. And there are things that can impact that. So we really try in our district and it to really use those formative assessments to guide kind of that everyday instruction.
And turning to a different topic here, but can you address the rise of new technology tools you've seen? How has technology like Google Translate changed English language instruction in the classroom?
You know, yes, that, I mean, if you think about over the last 21 years or 20 years that WIDA has been here to help support our journey, certainly assistive technology has come a long way. And I think where we have seen that impact is it helps build comfort. You know, not that it's always perfect. It isn't necessarily always perfect, but when you can use on your basic phone, a translation program, I think it just helps bolster anyone's ability to interact with the person in the room with them. You know, like if at ever we once thought we needed someone else to do that, you know, translating or bring understanding to the situation, and there still is a need for that, and there still is a reason for that. But I guess what I'm saying is that between all the things that we have on our phone, on our computers, you know, almost every website now, you can hit a button or say, you know, like what kind of language you want it to speak to you in. And then you always have to know the context, right? So that you know, when you get that translation, does it seem to make sense? You know, there still is that need. There are times in our school where we try to just make contact with families and talk to them and use a device like Google Translate so that they can ask questions and clarifying questions, because sometimes it's more of a cultural, you know, difference that lacks.
Chris, we're almost out of time, but I just want to give you a moment here. Have you seen any technology or advancements that have really helped you in the Hortonville Area School District?
What comes to my mind first is the advancement in technology has really helped us, especially communicate with parents. In the past, it was a teacher would have to contact, you know, like another EL staff or somebody to make a connection. But now regular ed teachers could just do that themselves quickly, and then parents can write back. There's like some apps that will even the parent can write in Spanish and it'll translate it into English, and then we can write back in English, and then it writes back in Spanish or any other language. So that, plus, as Anne mentioned, it just increases a level of comfort overall.
I want to thank you all for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That is Anne Gamoki, Director of Student Services for Plymouth Joint School District. We had Chris Zellner, English language teacher and coordinator at Hortonville Area School District, and Tim Bowles, Executive Director of the Educational Consortium WIDA, headquartered at UW-Madison's Wisconsin Center for Education Research. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.